As you can see by today's reading, when it comes to the disciples, Jesus is extremely annoyed today. you can get really bogged down in a lot of the cutting off of parts and going to hell. But if you really look at the beginning of today's reading, you have this scene where John and the other apostles are running up and they're saying, Jesus, there's this guy and he's casting out demons and he's doing all these great deeds and he's doing them in your name and we should stop him because he's not following our group. He's not part of us. He's not doing it the way we want him to. Be honest, sometimes it sounds like some churches I've been in when some poor newcomer has shown up and has been browbeaten and instructed to death when they've tried to help out, when they've tried to, be a part of what's going on. Now, in today's gospel, we have Jesus telling his disciples to basically, cool down and knock it off, that if this guy, this other man is out there preaching and casting out demons and healing people in Jesus' name, how can he be against them? I think sometimes the apostles are just feeling a little bit uneasy with this other guy because he seems to be doing naturally what they don't ever seem to be able to quite get. Here this person who isn't even officially part of the 12 is out there proclaiming the good news in Jesus' name. And Jesus is making it clear that anyone who is proclaiming the good news in his name, that they should be left alone, that they should be allowed to do so. If anything, we should be supporting it. Now, as I said earlier, sometimes that gets a little bit tough because when we see somebody coming in and maybe they're going to do it a little bit differently than we would do it, or they haven't been around forever. One of the things I think we need to get over as a church, that if, when we talk about people who've been around for 30 years, like they're newcomers. I always think that we need to stop talking about, people who haven't been here for a couple of years as newcomers. That we should support one another, to listen to one another, and to see how each of us is contributing to the good news. On Sundays, there are many ways that we preach the good news. A lot of it is we create this worship space that people can come and listen to the Word of God, to give praise. We offer a little sustenance in both spiritual sustenance and afterwards a little bit of a little bit of food, to feed the body and the soul. And there are other ways that we proclaim the good news. Sometimes it's by participating in here coming up will be this church will have an opportunity to participate in the community dinner in Mastic Beach. Sometimes it's been working with the vets over there at the vets place. Some of you do some individual ministries. But there are a lot of ways to proclaim the good news. And what we are here to do is to hold up one another in our ministries. Each of us has been given all sorts of, skills and talents, abilities through the Holy Spirit to help build up the church. The great thing is none of us are alike. Some of us may share a couple of the same skills, and sometimes that helps us to work together. Other times it puts us at odds with each other. But as a body of Christ, this community, we help lift up one another, not try to tell people how they have to fit in the mold. when people have new ideas how to proclaim the good news, we listen. We give it a shot. Because the only failure in the church is not doing anything. You know, those who have been coming around for a long time, and I'm not just talking about St. Andrew's, I'm talking about the church in general. Y'all know that, you know, the church is a continuing, changing thing. That the church that, I know the church that I grew up with, you know, talking in the Big C church all around, not just one little parish, is changed in many ways. And a lot of that because people change. And the church is like people living, is a living being. It is the bride of Christ. And to think that, you know, like a person, it's going to be exactly the same. You know, I think that's always a funny thing about Facebook and all these social media. I was amazed about, I don't know, I think I've been on Facebook for a half dozen years now. But I remember when I first got on and I had friends from high school, from the class, Central City High School, you know, in Nebraska, class of 1982, and I started seeing all these people, and you're thinking, dear Lord, I hope I don't look that old. Because, you know, it's funny, because, you know, in my mind, you know, in our mind, you know, it's like most of my classmates, you know, be honest, on that day in May, as we all, you know, tossed our, you know, our Kelly Green or our gold, you know, the guys in my school always wore Kelly Green gowns, and the girls always wore gold gowns. You know, as we tossed our mortar boards into the air, and that was like probably the last time I saw, you know, the majority of the people in my class. And so it was that real shock when, you know, you get on Facebook and, you know, and they're showing pictures. I think for those of us who don't have kids and stuff, sometimes it's even more of a shock because suddenly you realize I am old enough where I, you know, not only could I have grandchildren, but they could be in school already. But, you know, you see that people have changed. You know, they're not the way you picture them anymore. And that's the true with the church. The church changes. You know, sometimes when you're around for a long time, it's hard to see the change like it is with your own children. Till one day you go to buy them new school clothes and you realize they're, you know, halfway up their shin, you know, or... And that's a lot with the church, you know, because when you're here every day, sometimes it's hard to notice the gradual change. If you haven't been here for a while, sometimes it's, you know, you're picturing a place that got stopped in time. Or maybe if you have not been in a church for decades, and you're thinking about a church that existed, you know, when I was ordained a deacon, one of my year mates of being ordained always talked about, you know, the past perfect that never existed. And sometimes that's the way we view the church if we haven't seen it been there for a while, of this vision of the way it never was. But in our head, it was exactly like that. As I said, the church always changes, and that's because it's a living, you know, it's a living being, and it always has new people showing up. And even if you've been here for a long time, you change. And so one of the things as we are we're doing, I know, with the Bishop's Committee, the wardens, as we are starting to converse in smaller groups throughout the church, is in this world we live in now, how do we proclaim the good news? Who do we go to? Where do we go? When it's to mission, who are we serving? We have some unique, I don't know, challenges as a parish sometimes because, you know, some churches you're basically pretty centered, and basically, you know, this congregation is made up of people all the way up to the north, all the way down to the south shore. If I remember right, Manorville, to East Sayville, Ronkonkoma. I mean, We're a spread out church. We are a group of people. And so sometimes, you know, our idea of community and who we're serving is going to be different from a church who basically is, you know, very centralized. And so that's why we need to work together. That's why when we see the other person out there proclaiming the good news, why we not only have to listen to them, but also not basically stomp them down because they're not one of us yet. I'm an extremely fortunate person in that, you know, some days it doesn't feel very fortunate when it comes near the end of the week, but I work with four very diverse communities. You know, along with Mastic Beach, you know, here at St. Andrews here, you know, working with St. Anne's and Sayville, but also in Mastic Beach, working with the, you know, the community center. And also this other community of the diocese that I work with. And I have to say that sometimes I look around and I see all the wonders of how the church can be so different in different places, yet be the same. In that we all, the main thing we always seem to want is to leave other people to know about this guy named Jesus. This Jesus who came to us, fully man, fully God, but came to us to let us know that we were loved. Not because whether we deserved it or not, wasn't because of who we were, wasn't because of who we weren't, it's because we just are. And that's what I see that holds the church together. All these different facets of it is that we all want other people to know about this wonderful, loving Jesus. Now, I'm going to encourage you, as I've done in the past, and I'm going to continue to encourage you. And by encouraging you basically mean I'm just going to basically maybe some days ride you a little bit. You know, it's like I always think about, my mother. Sometimes encouragement was to basically, you know, tell us a good job. Other days, encouragement was basically standing behind us with basic, you know, the proverb, you know, I guess, you know, the proverbial stick, you know, just, you know, to really start working together to discover new ways to serve this community. Maybe to begin with is to figure out what we mean, to figure out what it means to you to be part of the community. In November, you know, last year we had three different congregational meetings where we talked about how we saw the church, where we saw needs and such, and I'm going to be talking with the wardens here, setting up a date, but starting in November, we're going to have a Sunday where after church, we're going to have a meeting, you know, we're going to have another one of those meetings, and we're going to talk about what it means, what our community looks like, and start this conversation about how we as this church, this wonderful place called St. Andrews, can reach out to proclaim the good news, to be that guy on the street that maybe seems not to be part of our group, but in reality is. My sisters and brothers, throughout this last month or so, we've been reading from the book of James. Now, James is kind of this interesting book. You know, one time the problem with reading James a section at a time is like you get to, it's like it goes back, it's almost sort of like it's, I like James. I think it's one of the greatest, great letters. But I can understand why early in his ministry, Martin Luther wasn't fond of it. You know, it's like, of all things, Martin Luther thought the book of James should be cut out of the Bible. in his early ministry. He's changed his mind. Because it's just really sort of at this time where one moment it's sort of like it just seems really rough, as you notice, and other times it's that part about, you know, you need to work together. And that's the great thing about the book of James. If you look at it as a whole, it's more about us living together as a church. And I'm going to encourage you all to, you know, maybe take some time out and, you know, pull out your Bible. Some of you I know are very dedicated, have that Bible out every day. While others of you, maybe you have to remember where your Bible is. And I've been in that stage of my life. But I encourage you to open up and start reading the book of James with an open mind and looking at how James talks about becoming and working and living as community. My brothers and sisters, we have, 15 months I've been here? You know, and some days it feels a lot longer in a good way. You know, and I think that's where one of your gifts are, is that, you know, unlike a lot of churches, I was joking earlier about getting over the idea of 30 years and being newcomers. One of the greatest gifts that I've noticed about this church here, at least I felt, is that you don't feel, you know, is that you all don't treat newcomers as outsiders. And it's very easy after a while to forget how long you've been here, because you feel like you've always, you know, been a part of, you know, sometimes in a good way, usually in a good way. And sometimes it feels like people are just sort of like, you should know that by now. You should know all the secret handshakes. But that's one of your greatest gifts, is that ability to make people feel like they've been here for, you know, been a part of the community. And I want to encourage you to think about how to continue to extend that. Like I said earlier, we all have great gifts. Sometimes the gifts are individual, sometimes they are of the community. And sometimes those gifts change as to the needs and people we serve. But with an open mind and an open heart and a willingness to just basically give ourselves totally over to the Spirit. Not only have we done amazing things, but we will continue to do amazing things. And I want to invite you all to be a part of that.